I got mixed up confusion, man, and it's killing me. There's too many people, and they're all too hard to please.
My guest today is Jimmy Bogard. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm fantastic, and sunny Detroit. It's actually sunny today.
It's beautiful today. Thanks for coming all the way up here from, where are you from?
Austin, Texas. I forgot my cowboy hat. I'm sorry.
I've never been to Austin, Texas.
It's lovely.
I totally believe you.
Except in August, when it's deathly hot. So.
It's lovely, except when it's not. Got it.
Yes, exactly. Just like everything else, yes.
what do we want to talk about today?
One thing we've been looking at recently, and it's been the problem of composite UIs, looking at some really complicated web interface that has to pull information from a lot of different sources and display it in some coherent format, and also to be able to perform in that manner so it's not, you know, 8-minute load times and things like that.
What you described, it sounds like a portal to me. Is that what you're talking about, a portal?
It's more looking at, even e-commerce sites, for example. You have things like a team in charge of catalog services, a team in charge of pricing, a team in charge of merchandising and coupons, and all these different teams in charge of different back-end services, and how do you pull those things together into this one view that is this one URL that goes and hits to pull all the pieces together?
Oh, okay, so that's not a portal. Portal would be something that it's all on the front end. You're aggregating some web parts in a SharePoint portal or a content management system.
Yes.
You're talking about further back, aggregating stuff to a single unified user interface.
Yes, because eventually, I mean, the browser is that one application. So even looking at techniques like single page applications are starting to really look into this to see how can we pull all these pieces together into something that actually works and can perform well.
Okay, so I have to believe this on your mind because part of your day job is you're actually trying to solve that problem. Is that right?
Yes, it's been coming up a lot recently, especially in the service-oriented architecture world, the SOA world, if you will, that trying to figure out, you know, how to efficiently compose these pieces and also make them not so coupled that you can't change things easily.
Well, let's start with the problem space. What exactly are the challenges that you have to overcome that are that you wouldn't have to overcome if you were just, you know, querying a database and you controlled everything, it was all more or less local?
Well, one thing I hit early in my career, I used to work on a team that did e-commerce for a very large computer manufacturing company. And in that company, one of the problems they had is as they were going to nationwide and worldwide orders, that everyone's requirements for shipping addresses were completely different. I mean, I had no idea that addresses in Japan were as crazy as they are. Not crazy to them, but to me, it just completely foreign. But that was just one small piece. So you're looking at, well, who's in charge of modifying? Is it the cart team that is in charge of showing the shopping cart to people? Is it the order processing team? Who is responsible for figuring out how that little shipping address widget is shown, validated, processed, stored, everything? And it's a pretty big challenge, especially if you consider that there's all these back-end pipeline processes that actually process the order, and trying to get all those to play well together is pretty challenging.
Okay, and how do you? Well, let's start with that. What's the solution to that, or what's a solution to that?
Well, it depends, David. Of course, one of the things we looked at is there are various a lot of different kinds of ways you see aggregate information in the world. One recent thing that came out up on a mailing list was just the wide variety of things you see in aggregated data. For example, if you go to a website like Newegg.com, they have a very nice faceted search ability for you drilling down to products. I don't know if you've ever used these kinds of, very nerdish sort of e-commerce tools that you can say, well, only show me the RAM that's DDR2100, 8 gigabytes, blah, 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 all these different areas that you can focus on. Well, to be able to do that efficiently is pretty difficult and requires specialized searching tool to do so. But as you drill into that, it may be a lot different than looking at, as you look at an individual product, I want to show who has recently bought this product. It's completely different information than just what, you know, how can I drill down into the different products. So one of the challenges we were looking at was...
Or people who bought this product also bought this other product.
Or just looked at it. Just all sorts of things. You can go to any, for example, Amazon.com has, it's just kind of notorious for this, for just, you can almost scroll forever on there.
Right.
Just keep scrolling, 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 and just learning all the way to the bottom of just, you know, comments, reviews, all these different things are just related to this one thing. But if you go to any Amazon.com product page, it still loads up in 2 seconds.
Yeah, so that's another challenge, performance.
Yes.
Like aggregating all this stuff and not and still having a good user experience.
Yeah, and being able to pay for their performance as well. I mean, Amazon pretty much invented the cloud, you know, just about. So they have their, you know, huge cloud infrastructure to be able to scale out and do those things efficiently. But not everyone can do that. So what are the different sort of techniques you can do to still be able to do that as well as things change in the future, not make things so tightly coupled that it becomes difficult to add. Now I want to take Japan shipping addresses or England or France or whatever it is.
Okay, so we'll know, we're hearing more and more problems here in this. I'm not hearing a whole lot of solutions, though. We've got performance as an issue. We've got the flexibility to allow people to see a lot of different information. We've got flexibility on the back end to handle different formats. I know it depends, but give me some example of how you solve this problem.
So when we say it depends, it all comes back to what are we trying to accomplish in the user interface? What are our actual goals? When we look at something like a faceted search, for those kinds of
faceted search is what?
Faceted search is being able to look at an individual entity or aggregate and being able to search against many different components. For example, it has many different sort of angles I would look at it, whether it's price, whether it's certain attributes of the product, whether it's availability. It's looking at all these different things and being able to combine them dynamically into one sort of search. Now, those things work really well if I don't have to go out to other systems to find that information. It works really well if all that data is already stored in a central location in something that's actually meant to be able to handle that. Now, what you run into with that, though, is, you know, the issues of now I'm duplicating my data and I'm spreading my data out. So if my price changes in the backend system, how does that get to the actual faceted search where I say, show me prices less than this and greater than that? So, you know, the folks that are actually doing pricing, they may have all sorts of complicated business rules, approval processes. How do I get all these things to go together?
Let me paraphrase one thing that you said here, which is that one possible solution is to duplicate that data, bring it closer, kind of cache it locally.
Yes.
So that people can more easily, or so that your system can more easily search it. And yes. Then there's problems with that, of course, because now you don't have as dynamic, as much flexibility because you're not dealing with the back-end system directly.
Right, exactly. And you have the issue of staleness of data as well. Yep. So if I click on the product that I'm searching on, I kind of want to make sure that the price it shows in my search results is the same price I show when I go to the product details page, because customers tend to get confused when things change, especially when it comes to pricing, customers will complain. So we looked at something like search. All these different problems all deal with the problem of aggregation. Somehow I have to aggregate either information that's in terms of data or information in terms of just HTML on a screen. It all has to be composed together and displayed to the end user in some coherent format. So we found was there's a variety of techniques we can use. One of them would be something like just back-end data integration, where I am the pricing system either exports prices or whatever it is, it distributes its information to the search system so that the search system can index it and whatever it needs to do to be able to search on it. Okay. I may have other things like, just a regular product catalog screen where I have things like the little widget that you log in with at the very top. Mm-hmm. Well, that has nothing to do with product information. So I may even have different caching rules of that little widget up there of your login widget, or maybe your cart total versus just product information or catalog information. Mm-hmm. And you think, when was the last time Amazon's catalog, that is the very top level catalog selections, when was the last time that actually changed? Maybe a year ago?
You mean like the categories, the fact that they sell books, catalog. They sell electronics, they sell pretty much everything actually.
Yeah, pretty much. So you have things like, well, the pricing could be changing pretty drastically, or reviews could be changing pretty drastically. But some of the other things may change much less frequently.
Okay. So it's safe to cache that locally because it's unlikely to change for a long time.
And then we also see that those pieces are also pretty separate from the other information on the screen. Mm-hmm. So you can almost take a page and print it out and just use an X-Acto knife to slice out pieces that have nothing to do with each other. And so what we see people doing with that level of aggregation are doing things like doing it all the way in the UI layer. That it could either be on the browser or the server UI layer. For those that are familiar with ASP.NET MVC, one popular way of doing this is through the use of child actions. as a way of calling out into individual child widgets to show individual pieces that can then cache and do whatever they want for each individual piece. Mm-hmm. On the actual browser side, we're seeing people use a lot of client-side JavaScript framers like Backbone and Knockout to be able to call out to even content delivery networks to have those things cache out individual pieces however they need to, so that it's the browser all the way at the user side that's putting all the pieces together. And it's really just a very small HTML document that's initially presented, and then another request to go out to each individual piece.
Interesting. Anything else?
I guess you wanted answers, and there really aren't any answers yet, because we found there is really, this is a very tough problem, and there really are no silver bullets. There's just an ever-expanding arsenal of tools that we can use to help solve this problem, and then the trick is really just to figure out what's the best approach for each individual page.
Okay, no, I think you, I don't think you gave an answer for everybody, but you did provide a framework for finding that answer.
Yeah,
like there's
the best thing I could probably give is just a way to choose, as opposed to always do this.
If that weren't true, we wouldn't need consultants.
That's right. Thanks, David.
Where can people find out more about Jimmy Bogard?
You can find me on my blog, of course, at jimmybogard.lostechies.com. I also ramble quite a bit on Twitter, so just at Jay Bogard. Or you can always just shoot me an email, which I probably will not read, but I will, well, Twitter's probably best.
Keep the questions short anyway.
Yeah, exactly. 140 characters or less, yeah.
Jimmy, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, David.
Seeing my reflection, I'm hungover, hung down.
My name is Jimmy Bogard, and what I really enjoy doing with technology is terrorizing my friends with it. Things like switching their mouse buttons from right to left to left to right. Always a good time. Thanks.